Good morning.
Good morning.
We are excited and grateful to be here. My name is Joseph Muhammad Ali. I adopted Joseph when my pastor baptized me some 48 years ago. That's when I picked Joseph. So Joseph was not part of my name. My wife and I have been married for about 40 years. We got married in Indianapolis when I was attending a school there. And she's a graduate of IU, South Bend. And I graduated from Goshen College and attended Mennonite Biblical Seminary here and take some classes at Notre Dame University for some time when I want to do a PhD program. Then the Lord took us back home. My wife and I, as Nancy said, we run a television program on satellite, and we have some of our program on YouTube, internet TV, on family and discipleship, because that's the issue now. And we travel quite a bit. We have some churches scattered around Nigeria that we oversee since we went back home 32 years ago. My wife run a program called Pastor's Wives Forum. She gathered together a lot of pastor's wives. In Nigeria, it's a big thing. And they have fellowship together and have conferences. And they produce magazine. The Today's Christian is tied to Today's Christian. And Today's Christian Women, yes. And has to do with principles of Christian living for women in general and pastors' wives in particular. Well, that's what we do, and we've been doing that since we went back home. We have two children here. One is a scientist with Eli Lilly, and the other one is an engineer with Indiana Power Light. And we have other children back in Nigeria. We have 17 grandchildren altogether. So that means whenever they come, it's a lot of noise. I'll be praying that God will take them back on time. We thank God for His grace. Today I am very grateful that I can be here with you. Toby and I have been, and Nancy have been friends, real warm friends. We're just like brothers. As some of you probably know, Dale Stoll, he's my twin brother. Dale was my best man when I got married in 1977, and Gwen was my wife's chief bridesmaid. And their two children, now grown up, were flower girls and ring bearer. I have an old friend here, Billy and Debbie Love. I met them in Elkhart here many years ago, over 36 years ago or so. So they know I'm in town. So that's why they're here. Billy was a boxer when I met him. He's a heavyweight boxer many years ago, but he can't box anything now. And Debbie was a manager at McDonald's many, many, many years ago. So we're still in touch. Well, that's all I want to say about us very quickly. I want us to bow our hearts as we pray together, ask God to bless us. Awesome and great God, thank you for this moment. I ask that you will speak to our lives and our heart, and draw us closer to you. Our desire is to be like you. You said you've saved us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You've called us to be holy as you are holy. and to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You've called us to be, to have the same attitude that Jesus had. There's nothing you've called us from. You've called us from the world to a different lifestyle. I pray that you help us to come to grapple with that reality. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 20, the Gospel of John. I want to do two things very quickly before I am done. One, I grew up in a Muslim home. I think many of you know what Muslim Islam is by now, after September 11. If you didn't know that, you would have known what it is. September 11 is the real Muslim image. And the whole world have been deceived to believe that Islam is peace. Now, you don't do peace with sword. So if you want to know Islam, then think back to September 11. And I don't say this to be insulting to them. No, because my parents were Muslim. My uncles, my cousins, my family, all of them were all Muslim. And God brought us out from the midst of them. So, and God did that gloriously. Please, I don't have time. Somebody will have to give me a signal when I have 10 more minutes to go. Because I have so much to tell you, and I don't have the time to tell it. I was born 1947. I'm 70 years today. I became 70 May 5th this year. 1947, I found myself in a Quranic school. Quran is a Muslim Bible. So Quranic school is a place where you learn Quran and memorize it. So I didn't even know how I got there. I just met that I was in Quranic school, chanting the Arabic words and learning about Islam and God, Allah. And so that was how I started. And everybody born in the compound automatically go to Quranic school. You don't have a choice. Is the most brilliant brainwashing religion ever exists on the planet Earth. Sometimes I wish that Christians can do the same. We don't do it. They believe that the only way you can teach them is to learn the word that comes from Allah. If we can do the same thing for our children, to learn the Bible while they were growing up, memorize the Bible, it will be very difficult for some of them to go back. If they go back, they will come back. So that's how I started. As I grew up, I became a little bit rascally and ruthless. It's not a big deal for us to go and throw a stone at people doing crusade out, you know, back in Nigeria and most Africa. Outdoor crusade is very common. You don't do crusade in a hall because hall won't take them. So crusades are done outdoor. And it's not a big deal to throw stones at them in the night, because crusade usually starts in the night from 7 o'clock till 9. And we were taught that Christianity is a bunch of lies. And it's a fabrication of many people who claim to be from God. And we're told that the Bible is full of contradiction. And if we look at it, they don't agree. So if you are taught that way, it's difficult for you to simply come out of that. So for that reason, I will not allow anyone to talk to me about Jesus. Because in Islam, Jesus is the greatest of all the prophets that ever existed, from Adam to the last person. And he is the power of God. That's in Islam. He's called An-Nabi Isa. That's the prophet Isa. I-S-S-A. So prophet Isa could not have allowed himself to be brought low to the point the Christians brought him. Because prophet Isa, An-Nabi Isa, that is Jesus. Same. When I say Isa, I mean Jesus. When I say Jesus, I mean Isa. He will not allow himself to be brought low in such a way, because he is the power of God. He is coming back to this world to judge the world, and particularly to judge the Christians. That's what we were told. To judge them that they lie against him, that he is the Son of God, whereas he is just a prophet of God. So we were told that he did a lot of miracles. In the Quran, it's written there in the Quran. If you have a copy of Quran, you read it. That Jesus performed more miracles than any other person. And that he's coming back again. Now, that's all we learn. But when I grow up and I begin to think for myself, I became a radical Muslim boy. In fact, I don't have anything to do with Christians. We can buy and sell from each other, but when it comes to trying to relate, I keep a distance. Now, that's because in Islam, everybody who is not a Muslim is a pagan. So every Christian is a pagan. And pagans should not be allowed to live. They should die. We learn that. Now, unfortunately for me, I fall in between radical Muslims and moderate ones. Now, I'll tell you the Muslims that exist. There are four kinds of Muslims. We have folk Muslims. Folk Muslims are Muslim by name. They bear Muslim names. They don't go to the mosque. They don't practice the religion. They don't read the Quran. And they don't, you know, care a hoot what anybody think about them in terms of God and eternity. Those are folk Muslims. I think we have them in Christianity too, all over the place. Then you have civilized Muslims. A civilized Muslim is also in two forms. He's a Muslim. He reads the Quran. He prays 5 times a day. One believes that actually Christianity should be abolished and terminated. But he doesn't say it out. It's quietly in his heart. And he will support any agenda that will do that financially. A country like Saudi Arabia is the biggest supporter of radical Islam all over the world than Iran. Iran is a different version, because Iran, the Muslim religion in Iran is a different denomination to that of Saudi Arabia. Iran believes that there could be another prophet. Saudi Arabia believes Muhammad is the last prophet. That's where you get Shiite and Sunni from. That's where the confusion together. But most people don't know that Saudi Arabia pump billions of naira, of dollars, to support Islamic agenda. That's where Osama bin Laden is from. Unfortunately, that's why I was not happy with Donald Trump the other day when he said certain Muslim countries should not come and Saudi Arabia was not included. I was expecting Saudi Arabia to be part, to be number one, because we know who they are. They sent sheikh all over the world to spread radical Islam, but in a very neat way. So we have those kinds of Muslim called moderate or civilized Muslim. They are the one you find in America who will tell you, no, it's not good to kill people for no reason. Islam is known to behead people. If you steal, put your finger on a wood and chop it off so you can steal again. Or be stoned. If you are caught in adultery, you should be stoned. If you change your religion, you should be stoned. Stone you. That's what Islam is all about. And we need to know that. And is the fastest growing cultic religion in the world today. And they are in the U.S. You go to Michigan State. Go to Detroit. You find mosques all over the place. Go to Los Angeles. Go to Baltimore. Go to New Jersey. They're all over the place. And we are just quiet. And there's an aggressive evangelism among Muslims today. Their own evangelism. Anyway, let me move on a little bit. Then we have the real Muslims. Folk Muslim, civilized Muslim in two forms. The one that don't believe we should kill people and the one who will support others without being seen that they are involved. Then you have the real Muslim. Now, Muhammad Ali that you have in America, Elijah Muhammad and the rest of them, Mr. Farrakhan represent the real Muslims and the civilized Muslim. In the sense that if it pay him, if it's okay for him, if it justify his cause, he can be a real Muslim. But if it doesn't, he's a civilized Muslim. He's very aggressive. And a lot of other Muslims, especially basketball players, boxers, football players who have been converted by delusion and deception. They are told, they are shown that the Jesus they are serving is a white, oppressive Jesus. He's one who made their father as slaves. Why would you want to follow a white, oppressive Jesus? And that Muslim accept everybody. And unfortunately, our black brothers, the church hasn't helped them much. So while they are in that dicey situation and you confront them with the fact of the history of slavery and tell them that Muhammad is a just man, they yield very easily. That's why you find a lot of them becoming Muslim. In those days, we used to call them black Muslim. Because of the theology of black conscience. The black conscience theology was already there before they were made. But glory to God Almighty that in spite of that, you still have a huge number of African American and black folks who still believe in the Jesus of Nazareth. One of them is here. Several of them. So that's the deception. Now, the real Muslim is like Osama bin Laden. They believe in killing. They believe in terminating his religion of Christianity from the planet Earth. They believe that Israel should not exist on the map again. That's the real Muslim. That's the real Muslim. That's the version I was going into when God grabbed me and took me. The real Muslim believes in the Quran, just like a radical Christian. He doesn't kill, but he believes that the word of God is authentic and it must be believed, held unto, and practiced. So it is in Islam. In their own case, if Muhammad killed, we must kill. If he behead, we must behead. If he dealt with pagans, we should deal with pagans. Pagans is anybody who don't believe in Islam. So that's a real Christian. Oh, many years ago, we have our brother Obama who tells us that Islam is for peace. It's a lie. It's not for peace. You have to be a Muslim like me before you can tell me that. It's not for peace. The moderate and civilized Muslim can tell you that, but the real Muslim won't tell you that. They are for war. And that is coming very seriously. Right now in Europe, Muslims have taken over some section of Europe and have established Sharia. Sharia is a system of living that is peculiar to Islam according to the Quran. And they have their court. And Europe opened their eyes and allowed that to happen. Already, laws have been pushed to allow that to happen in America. There's honor killing going on in America. Honor killing is if your daughter becomes a Christian, kill her. And it's happening. But you don't know. That's why I think you should go on the internet and click Islam, honor killing, violence, and read what Islam is all about. The Lord is converting us back to Christ in our thousands and millions all over the world. Please, don't play with Islamic agenda. Don't play with it. They are moving. They have four wives. You only have one wife. If they have three children, times four, that's 12 children. So democracy, its majority carries the vote. So if they are in your area and they are multiplying by 12 and you're multiplying by four, what happened after some time? They outnumber you and push you out of power. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't want to tell you all bad stories, but I feel like you need to know what they are for. Now, that does not mean that we should have an attitude of vengeance, vendetta. No. We should carefully seek God. How do we handle these people? In divine nature, divine way, in love. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. Not hate them. But we must not close our eyes until you are kicked out of the boat. That's my concern. Well, that's how I grew up. Now let me tell you the good news. 1969, when I was just 23 years old, I mistakenly picked a New Testament Bible. But I had no idea it was a Bible. My hands were on the table. I sat on the table and my hands were on the table to the back. And my hands went over a book. So when I pick it up, I didn't know what it was. I flip it over. It looked like some scripts. If you remember, those of you who are old enough to remember the Communist Manifesto during the time of Chairman Mao, the president of China. He wants to convert the whole world into communism. So Communist Manifesto was on. So I thought the little book I picked was the Communist Manifesto. So I look at it. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Then I was playing with it, slapping it back and forth on my hand. Then somebody called me, Mohammed, come, I want to see you. And the book was in my hand and I went out with it. I didn't know that is step one to meeting Jesus. Now, unconsciously, I went out with it. So he took me out and we walked away as we were talking. And I put the little book in my pocket. And after a while, I came to the office to close up and went home with the book. So when I got home, I took it and I thought, oh, I mistakenly took this book from somebody's table. I'll return it tomorrow. When I was with a friend, he said, oh, Mohammed, are you a Christian now? I tell him to shut up his mouth. Then he said, what are you doing with the Bible? I said, Bible? No, it's not a Bible. What is in my hand is King James Version, New Testament. That was what was written in King James Version, New Testament. New Testament, King James Version. Then he said, New Testament is the New Testament of the Bible. I still didn't understand what he was saying. And that is the King James Version. There are different versions. I still don't understand what he's saying because I never read the Bible. That's the first time I've seen the Bible. Before I could say, well, you can have it, then he said, one part of the Bible I really love is the Psalms. Why did he love it? He said, there's Psalms for good luck. Psalms you can read for protection. Psalms you can read to ward away evil. Psalms you can read for promotion. Psalms you can read for protection. And I thought, wow, if you have Psalms for protection, promotion, provision, then I want to see where the Psalms is. So he showed it to me. For that reason, I didn't throw the Bible away. So I went home to open to the Psalms. And as a reading, unfortunately for the devil, I opened to Psalm 50. And Psalm 50 at the end of the verse 20 says, remember now ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces and there be none to deliver you. And I thought, is that what the Psalms is for? Tear me into pieces? Then I read another Psalms. Once I discovered it was the Christian book, I decided to read it the way we read Quran. We don't read Quran in the middle. No, except you make a reference. You read Quran from the beginning, from the right to the left. So, of course, this was written from left to the right. So I started with the book of Matthew, book of Luke, Mark, John, secretly. As I was reading it, I had a pure, clear understanding of what I was reading. The revelation was given to me as I read. I didn't need an interpretation. It was so straightforward, even though it was King James that was saying, thou shalt not, thou lovest not, thou doest not, but I still understood it. For secret reading, after 3 weeks, I think I must have read the whole Bible, the whole New Testament. And at this time, I was loaded with the truth against falsehood. And I start asking questions. Because I noticed the superiority of the New Testament I was reading over against the Quran I read. I saw the God of love, the God of relationship, the God of peace, the God of goodness, the God of love your neighbor. It wasn't there in the Quran. And at that point, my heart began to open. If people think you can convert Muslim force to force, you're joking. They love it. And the devil is so smart, he wants to engage Christians in violence against them, against their violence, so that our message will be what? Will be of no use to them. That's what the devil wants to do. Give them violence. Let's leave that one to the government. Let our president handle that violence against them. But we'll handle them with prayer and love. That's what we should do. Anyway, as God will have it, my stomach was loaded with truth, with the Bible. Then I started asking questions. Could Muhammad be a prophet? Now, in Islam, to even ask such a question is haram. There's a radical Islamic group in my country called Boko Haram. Have any of you have heard Boko Haram? Okay. That's in where I live in Nigeria. They are ruthless, sometimes more ruthless than the ISIS. They are wicked. They kill. They destroy, including their own Muslim brothers. If they don't believe what they believe, they kill them for not believing the same way. So my heart opened up unto God, and I start asking a question. So I decided to go and ask a guy about Jesus. When I got there, I asked him, now, I want to ask you some question about the book I've been reading. So I show him. I said, the first question I want to ask is, before I consider this religion, tell me, why do you Christians serve three gods? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he laughed. He said, no, we don't serve three gods. We serve only one living God. But he manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I couldn't understand that. I gave him another question he couldn't understand. But I was troubled in my heart and begin to feel like if I died the way I am now, where would I go? Hell or heaven? I think the topic of hell and heaven, we don't talk about that anymore. In fact, don't scare anybody with hell. Be quiet. Just tell them to go to heaven. So I start thinking about it because in Islam, hell and heaven is clear. You do well, you go to heaven, paradise. You don't do well, you go to hell. And there are stages of hell. There's real hell. There's medium hell. There's severe hell, depending on how wicked you are. And I had this in my mind. So if I die now, where would I go? Well, this my friend said to me, Mohammed, can you follow me to church tomorrow and see what we do in church? He just became a Christian, so he didn't know his right from his left as much as I thought. Then I laughed and said, no, I'm a Muslim. How would you want me to follow you to the church? He said, just to go and see what we do. Well, I gave it a thought. I said, no, I will try. I'll think about it. He said, no, don't think about it. I'll pick you up tomorrow, 9 o'clock. As I left him, the thought was heavy on my mind. Go and see what they do in the church tomorrow. Just go and see. Well, I was desirous of this Jesus and the Bible, but Islam had blocked that, and I started debating, what do I do? I got home and I knelt down. I said, oh Allah, if Islam is the correct way, do not allow me to depart from it. But if this Bible and this Jesus, according to the Christians, is the right way, then open my heart to believe it. I prayed that simple prayer. Before I could say amen, my heart is already drawing towards Christian faith. So the next day, I decided to honor my friend and I went to him. I have forgotten I was a Muslim. And I thought, so when I got to him, well, 9:15, we took off to church. We got there. The church is called Sudan Interior Mission. It was a mission congregation, mission church that was put out many, many years ago by Sudan Interior Mission, a mission organization from United States, Canada, and Europe. I don't know if you have heard of Sudan Interior Mission, SIM. When I got there, the congregation no more than from here to there. They had a worship. The pastor preached. The choir sang. They collected offering. They gave announcement. And the pastor, when it was done, he just motioned to someone. He said, Uncle Wilmot, it's an elderly man, he said, please can you dismiss us with a prayer and benediction? So the guy got up as if he knew I was there. And he said these words. All eye closed, please, and all head bow for prayer. Then he went silent. After a while, he now said, If you are here now and you have no personal relationship with your Maker God through Jesus, his Son, who died on cruel Calvary to set you free from your sin and bring you to God as your Father and you his Son and daughter, and you'd like to have such a relationship with him today, may I see you raise your hand so I can pray for you. I heard all that, and I understood it. After a while, he repeated again, and I thought I heard a voice from behind me that says, he's talking to you. I look at the back, nobody was there. So I raised my hands. Now, I forgot I was a Muslim. All I was thinking about, the truth. I want to know the truth. One thing about Islam and about Muslim is that they want to know the truth. If they can know that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he died for them, he's the only way to Father, he's the way, the truth, and the life. If they can know that and they turn to, they are ready to die for it. I didn't even think about persecution, that me becoming a Christian. I just raised my hand. And the man prayed. When he was done praying, he said, please wait behind. We'd like to talk to you more how you can grow in Christ. And he were given 5 instructions how to grow. Very simple instruction. The guy who counseled us, he said, would you like to grow in Christ, Muhammad? I said, yes, of course. He said, there are 5 things you can do to grow with the Holy Spirit helping you. One, he said, I should read and study the Bible every day. Is that not what we usually teach our children? Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. 2, you must meditate and pray about everything you read and about your life, about other people's life. 3, he said to me, Muhammad, you must obey what you read. Study it, pray about it, obey it by the help of the Holy Spirit. He said, tell God when you read a scripture that, Lord, I want to obey this scripture. He said, use your mouth to tell him. I said, okay. 4, tell somebody about Jesus, how you came to know Jesus. And 5, fellowship with Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church or group. Is there anywhere they preach the Bible? From the Bible, go there. He said, if you do these 5 things, you will grow. I took that religiously. I went out. Oh my God. As soon as I step out, everything changed. It looked like human beings are different from what I used to know them. Change. When I see you before, I see you again, you're changed. My heart was bubbling. My joy cannot be stopped. I was so excited. I was miserable with excitement. Do you understand that? When you can't contain yourself. Now, I told you I was a very bad boy. I won't tell you how bad I was. God knows. Amen. When I got home, the first thing I wanted to do was to settle with people I've done bad to. And I started greeting them and saying sorry to them. They were shocked. They were surprised. Because that's not my nature. Why would I be telling you sorry? Sorry for what? And at that time, I knew God has touched my life. I was very excited. And I was determined to make others known to Jesus. From that point on, I hit the road. The day I got saved, that's the same day I began to preach the Bible. Everything I know about Jesus, Everything I have learned, I started telling people who Jesus is everywhere. I went to my hometown, not minding that I may be persecuted, and God hold them, they couldn't do me anything. They couldn't touch me. All they could do was to abuse me, insult me, and said all sort of nasty thing against me. But I took it joyfully. When I'm about to eat, they know I'm going to pray for the food. They will gather around me, 30, 40 people, through the window and the door. They said, I was now talking to my food before I eat it. They didn't know I was praying. Because, it's strange to us. And I started studying the Bible. Studying the Bible. I want to know Jesus. I want to tell others about Jesus. I was everywhere. I carried tracts. Anywhere, I've been carrying tracts for years. Anywhere I go, I write my own tracts to tell people. In the airplane, in the bus, on the road, if I meet you, I must talk to you about Jesus. If I can't talk to you, I'll give one of these. This one says, your greatest decision. It tells about who you are, about your sin, and how you can receive Jesus. And I love to do that. Very soon I discovered that most Christians don't even talk about their faith. They're just quiet. What they do is they go to church and come back home and continue their work. Now let me just read this scripture in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 verse 21. Again Jesus said, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive their sins, they are not forgiven. He said, as my Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. After salvation, after you claim to be born again, the first thing you must know is not that your name is written in Book of Life and therefore you can stay here and live your life to yourself. The next thing to do is to look for somebody to tell them the story of redemption. If we don't do that, what are we doing? We are weakening the Christian faith by day. And people don't know that. I preach in Europe a lot. And if you go to England, you meet church buildings bigger than these twice, locked up. You know why they are locked up? Because one by one, they were not evangelizing. They were not telling anybody about Jesus. One by one, they die off. Remaining the pastor and his three deacons. And they discover that they can't use the building. They can't maintain it. So they leave and move to the pastor's office. What happened next? The Muslim comes in Britain and said, this building, we like to buy it. If it cost them $1 million to build it, they will offer $3 million. A price you can't say no. So most of your cathedrals, your church buildings have been converted to mosque. Why? Because you refuse to be sent as Jesus was sent by his Father. We refuse to go. If I ask now, how many of you have led someone to Christ in the last 1 month? In the last 2 months, in the last 1 year, chances are to be very few of us. Why? Because to us, Christianity has become, let's go and worship the Lord. Let's clap our hands. Let's pray for them to come by themselves. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel, good news, or literally means, make disciple of all nations. To make disciple is not simply to preach the gospel. It's not a decision. To make disciple. Matateas. Go and make matateas. people who do what I'm doing. And the church, by and large, is not doing that. Particularly in the Pentecostal full gospel evangelical group, mega churches, they gather together and sing and bless the Lord, which is good, and give their tithes and offering, and have programs, men fellowship, women fellowship, youth fellowship, teenager fellowship. We go and camp and bless ourselves. Nobody has been told about Jesus. And we think they will just come on their own, the way I came. I came the way I came because God needed me. And you wouldn't have come to me to tell me about Jesus. In fact, in those days, if you tell me about Jesus and you gave me one of these little dainty tracts, I'll fold it and hit your face with it. And I'll say some nasty word to you. I'll promise if you do that again, I'm going to stab you with a knife. God said, okay, I know how to get you. And I picked the Bible. But the normal way to bring men in is to encounter them with the gospel of Jesus. Correct gospel. We cannot decide that let's use another option. Yes, it's good to pray. It's good to use movie. Use anything you can use. But they must be told about the story of Jesus. I'm saying, if we refuse to do that, gradually we will reduce in number until we become minority. And they'll take over. Muslims are busy making converts of those weak, ignorant members of the church. And they brainwash you, they tell you, it's a lie they are telling you. But we don't do that. We simply tell them that God loves them, Jesus died for them, and if they ask for forgiveness, God will forgive them and bring them to Him. I think this is crucial. Today, the church is in church business, not the kingdom business. The real business of the gospel is kingdom gospel. Where Jesus said, if you read the book of John chapter 18, where Pontius Pilate queried him, he said, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, did somebody tell you that? Or you learned that by your own? He said, well, am I a Jew? And the master says, for this reason, I came to this world. And for this reason, I was born. What was he born for? He was born to establish the kingdom of God. And the gospel we preach is the kingdom of the gospel. And what is the kingdom? What is the nature of the kingdom? Because if we just tell people, get saved and go to heaven, and that's it. That's why we have a lot of confused Christians today. Got saved and go to heaven. No, we don't get saved to go to heaven. Of course we will, if we have to go before Jesus comes back. If you read through the Bible, the Old New Testament, you never read anywhere that the apostle or Jesus would say, get saved to go to heaven. They always talk about entering the kingdom of God. If you do this, you can't enter the kingdom of God. If you do that, you can't enter the kingdom of God. In fact, when he came, the first message he started preaching was on the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is here. Mark chapter 1, verse 25, verse 14 and 15. He said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and enter the kingdom. Believe the gospel. Then he sent his apostles to go and preach the kingdom. The kingdom. He said, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cast out devil. Raise the dead. He himself did that and asked the apostles to do that. At the last tail end of his message, he was preaching about the kingdom. And the Bible says, after he died, he rose. In his glorified body, he was meeting with the apostle every day for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 and 6. He met with the apostle and he talked about the kingdom of God for 40 days. That tells me that is so important to him. Today we don't even touch the issue of the kingdom. We say people should believe in Jesus as your Lord. How many of you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Thank God I went to a church where they told me how to live the kingdom life. They told me that now that you're a Christian, it's a different life. So I was called to a different life. A lot of people believe raising their hands and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's all about Christianity. No. It is to live the kingdom life. And what's the kingdom? Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of drinking, of eating. Is what? He said it is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4:14, he said the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of what? Power. So you see that the kingdom life we are called to live is threefold. One, righteousness. Doing, saying, acting in a righteous or right way. Driving right, talking right, behaving right, acting right, sitting right, eating right, sleeping right, dressing right. It's all about doing what is right. Not everything that is good is right. I hope you know that. It's all about righteousness. He who does what is right is righteous, Jesus said. Righteousness. We are called into a life of righteousness. So we make excuse and tell people, well, God understands where you are and so on. We are all on different level of growth. I understand that. I don't expect a 5-year-old boy to be able to run as fast as a 15-year-old boy. I understand that. But they're all growing. They can all run. I think we should stop making excuse for our friends who don't want to grow. Paul said, when you're supposed to be a teacher, you still need to be fed with milk. You're still saying dada. You need to be a teacher. You need to eat strong meat. So righteousness, when you live right, do right by the power of the Holy Spirit with numerous promises of God, then you're walking in the kingdom. Secondly, it's a peace. I don't understand how we can be in the kingdom and be quarreling with our wives and we can't settle and tell your wife, I'm done with you. I had a story before I came up from Indianapolis yesterday. A guy that I love so much just told his wife that, sorry, honey, I just want to tell you that we can no longer live together. Why? He said, I'm no longer in love with you. And they have been married for years. Their children are about 16 and 14. A life of peace, don't do that. That's, I'm telling the truth. Peace in my home spells peace in my marriage. I can't see me and my neighbor quarreling all the time. I can't see me quarreling in the office all the time. No, there gotta be peace. You say, well, you know, that's human nature. We're not just human nature. I'm not just an ordinary human being. The Bible tells me that God has given us power to live his life, isn't it? He said, by his divine power, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that by that, and he has given us great and precious promises, that by these promises, we should be partaker of what? Of divine nature. That's the Bible. So I'm not just an ordinary human being, flesh running up and down. I'm a divine man because of the man lives in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm to partake divine nature. Divine nature. That's why the gospel of the kingdom is power. Power. Power is given to live his life, to manifest the power of God, to live the life of God, to live a supernatural life of God. We are natural men living supernatural life by the power of God. They shouldn't see us like Sissy. The power to overcome sin. The power to stand against persecutions and not to give up. The power to smile at our enemy and say, I love you. Many years ago, a guy, I don't know what happened to him. This was back in America, many years ago, in the 70s. I was singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. He said, come on, can't you sing something else? Jesus, Jesus all the time. And I said, Doug, that's my love song. You know, he was violent. He literally came and pushed me. He said, stop singing. I'm disturbed. You nigger. Well, he said, I said, nigger? Oh, me nigger? Yeah, you just knowing I'm a nigger? So, and I started laughing. As I was laughing, he said, oh, you laughing, man, idiot. Fight, man. I want him to fight. I said, no, niggers don't fight. You know why? To me, he have no idea what he's talking about. So why should I be stupid enough to engage myself with somebody who knows nothing of what he said? Because of who I am. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you and my push is this. We need to engage in the kingdom issue. Jesus did not leave us here to be clapping and wait for him to come and take us in the pie. No. We must be aggressive with evangelism. You must tell the story about Jesus. What happened to you? Tell your neighbor. People are dying. People are waiting. I discovered that. You know, my heart was ready. That's why when I picked the Bible, I was reading it. I was receptive. And when the guy told me to come to church with him, I was receptive. When they said, would you like to receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior? I was receptive. You don't know who is receptive out there. Tell somebody. If you're afraid to tell somebody, get some tracts. Write your own story. How you became a Christian. Let it be. Print it. Use your salary to print it. I use my own salary to print it. And I give it to people. It's there. I just come to you and said, ma'am, please can I share the story of God's love with you about how Jesus died for you? Some will say, nah. Okay, thank you. God bless you. I'll leave him. Another person. Oh, thank you. We take it. Another person. Oh, I'm already a Christian. You're my brother. God bless you. So there are three categories of people like that. Get some tracts. The tract is to open the door for conversation. Because as you give it to them, they'll read it. If you meet him again, say, have you read it? In your office. Don't give it to him when you are working, when you have break. Hey, John, I'd like to share something with you. I wrote this little tract, and I want you to read it. It's about God's love. You just never know who is waiting. Some will say, like we do in the Muslim community, they'll say, you know, I've been wanting to hear about this. Nobody told me. I called Nigeria 3 days ago. One of my cousins is very sick. I think he needs an operation. So I called a doctor to see him. And I told the doctor, who's also a pastor under my church, and I said, please tell him about Jesus. The guy is a Muslim. The guy called me back. And I said, Abdul, his name is Abdul. I said, Abdul, I'm sending a pastor to you who is also a medical doctor. He will tell you something about Jesus. When they got there, they told him about Jesus. You know what? He was so receptive. He received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But if we didn't tell him, would he? No. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, I am sending you. I want to challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus that we begin to live the kingdom life. Concentrate on what are you required? What is it that God has required of us? He said, he has required you, O man, what is good and what the Lord thy God required of you. To love justice, to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. It's all about walking life. America is a beautiful country. Beautiful people, nice people. People who do good to others, to neighbors. I know that because I have been blessed by that through Toby and Nancy. They have blessed me a lot. But goodness doesn't take us into the kingdom of God. Man's righteousness is like a filter rag. There's a need for individual to personally receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and tell them this is the life we're supposed to live. The kingdom life. That's where we will be relevant out there and be useful to God. Or else, gradually, our children will go to that religion. God forbid. All my 14 children, every one of them know Jesus. Some of them are pastor. Some of them are pastor's wife. Some of them are serving God. Because I told God, if you help me, we will not make a contribution to hellfire. And all of them know Jesus. Passionately. Do your children know Jesus? Do they personally know Jesus, Lord and Savior? Are they hungry about Jesus? Oh, somebody said, I'm still praying for them to come back. I know. They will come back by the grace of God. But we must make effort to make sure that our children are sufficiently indoctrinated and brainwashed with the Bible. That Jesus is the only way to God. No other way. Praise the Lord. Well, let me stop here. Thank you very much. I don't take this time for granted. I appreciate it. And I love you. And thank you. Shall we pray together? Can we stand up as we pray together? Great God, thank you. The Father of the Lord Jesus. The God of this Bible. The God of the whole world. The Father of all spirit. The one who became a man in the person of Jesus and came down and died for us. Who came to set up his kingdom. The kingdom of joy. Kingdom of peace, kingdom of righteousness and of power. To you we stand. Look down on us, Lord, and help us. We want to be who you are and walk with you. Yes. We want to walk like Jesus. Yes. To be like Jesus. Yes. To talk like Jesus. Yes. To act like you. Yes. Lord, forgive our failures. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus and reestablish us back into your life. Let men see us as light and salt. Yes. Make us relevant and useful to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Father. This week we commit it to your hand. Let it be useful. Let it prosper in our hands in the name of Jesus. Yes. Bless us. Help us to look unto you. And walk with you with everything inside of, with all the zeal to know. Let men know that we belong to the light. Yes. Let us not hide it. Teach us to be bold. Yes. And stretch forth your hand and perform miraculous signs and wonder. Yes. Heal the sick. Lord, I pray for everyone here who is sick in one way or the other. I pray for health. For the sick, I pray for health. For the weak, I pray for strength. In the name of Jesus. For the bound, I pray for deliverance. I pray that you'll be set free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Reverend Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you.